The MLB Gambling Podcast on the Sports Game Podcast Network is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to 100 times your money in NBA, MLB, MMA, NHL, golf, and more. Sign up today at UnderdogFantasy.com using the promo code MLBSGPN to get a 100% deposit match. And welcome, everybody, to the MLB Gambling Podcast here on the Sports Game Podcast Network. It is currently Tuesday afternoon on April 30th, roughly 5:40 p.m. Eastern Time. I'm your host for the show, Scott Rochelle, once again joined by Lante, and together we're going to preview the Wednesday games. Lante, how's it going with you? Nice to see you again.
Yeah, man, nice to see you as well. I'm doing pretty good. Hopefully, Detroit can hold on to I hope they're still winning. They were winning 1-0 when last I checked.
So, it was still 1-0.
Watch that's great. I got the under as well. So, yeah, man, hoping to start off a good day and plead that into tomorrow, man. Hope you're doing good as well.
Yeah, it seemed like it was an absolute pitcher's duel in the early game between let me check the actual pitchers here. It says here Flaherty and it says here Gibson. That can't be right. Is that right? A 1-0 game in the ninth inning with Flaherty versus Gibson?
Yep, that's right.
So, yeah, definitely did not see that coming. So, nice job by both guys to pitch well. Riley Green did have the only run there. We're entering the ninth inning as he had a home run in the fourth. Besides that, Lante, just to ask, I know that there's nothing really to break down for the recap for the Tuesday card because we are about one game in. But overall, in general, how's your betting week gone so far?
Yeah, not bad at all. I pretty much think I'm like two games over 500. Yesterday, I had the Mets, and of course they're throwing a no hitter into the eighth inning, and then they give up a blooper, and then just all hell breaks loose. Even with their best closer, Diaz comes in, he immediately gives up the go ahead run, or maybe they tied it, and then they went ahead in the next inning.
Yeah, so, ended up having the 2-run homer, I think. But
yeah, that was brutal. But I cashed a couple dogs. Cashed Seattle yesterday. That was actually my dog for the show on Sunday. So cashed that, and got home with the Yankees under as well. I thought that was a good play. So yeah, I'm doing pretty good. I hope you are as well with your picks.
Yeah, to be honest, not much baseball for me this week. I'm busy with the NBA and with hockey. Those have gone well so far. So shout out to the Lakers first half Nuggets full game for the entire series. That went 4-1, which was a phenomenal bet because it was around plus 400 or 500 every time. So not a bad percentage when you go 80% in a series with that one prop and it's 4-1, 5-1 each time. So can't complain too much, but either way, though, time to get into the actual card for Wednesday. Starting off with the early game on the slate, you have a matchup between the Cardinals and the Tigers. So once again, the same matchup will be the early game, as that one's taking place at around 1 p.m. Eastern time. You have Mikolas taking on Maeda. So hopefully that game's not 1-0-2 in the ninth inning. Detroit is minus 115. The Cardinals are minus 105. Mikolas and Maeda have both been really, really bad. Mikolas has a 5.91 ERA. You're looking at Maeda, who has a 5.96 ERA. Both teams have been a bit underwhelming offensively this season. The Tigers, though, are potentially on the verge of being 17-12. Knock on wood, they're 16-12 right now. Cardinals are 13-15. The total in this game is set at 8.5. I know at first glance you want the over, just based on the pitchers. The question is, do you actually want an over with the Tigers being involved? And B, do you really feel confident backing either of these starting pitchers?
Nope, I really don't. And that's why I would just stick to the play, which is the under. I lean to Detroit on the side, but I like the under, man. If everything goes right today and we don't get nothing crazy, St. Louis is under in 12 of their 17 road games. They're also under in 6 of their last 10, which will make it 7 of their last 11, if they can hang on here. So, I mean, they're hitting under 200 in the last 10, 212 on the road. You know, the pitchers are what they are, but Mikolas, 2 earned runs or fewer in 3 of his 5 starts. Olsen, 2 earned runs or fewer in 3 of his 5 starts. I mean, offensively, I don't expect much from either side. So, if the pitchers can just be, you know, right around average, I think they'll be fine. Detroit is right around 500 to the under. I think that more has to do with you know, the opponents. I don't think it has anything to do with their actual offense doing the job. So, and if you look at Olsen, he's been okay. I mean, he hasn't had any run support. His ERA is like 2.
Olsen pitching. I see Maeda pitching.
Oh, I see. I handicapped Olsen. I'm sorry.
I mean, it could be, but I'm looking at ESPN. It says that Maeda is pitching at 1 o'clock.
Okay, yeah. Well, scratch everything I said if it is Maeda, because I handicapped Olsen. So, but still, either way, I still like the under as well, just off the sheer strength of both offenses struggling and St. Louis struggling on the road as well. But I'll just back up everything I said about Olsen if Maeda is actually on the mound. I just totally. It totally went one ear.
It might have been Olsen. They might have switched it, but ESPN right now says Maeda. ESPN's been wrong before, so
yeah, that's fine.
Does
yeah, that's
starting,
fine.
But
yeah, that's my bad.
So do you still like the under?
Yeah, I still like the under. I still like it.
I think I agree. It's a spot where both pitchers aren't very good, but I really don't like either offense, and I think that when you're looking at a total of 8.5 with two teams that just cannot score, you're looking at what should be a very tough total to reach because one pitcher can struggle, and you're fine because you probably will see one of these teams struggle to even reach 4 runs based on what we've seen for the entire season, where these guys don't really get many, I'd say, clutch hits. Let's put it that way. And I do think you might see a lot of guys on base. So maybe if you want to go for walks or maybe hits for some guys, I can understand that. The problem is both teams have really not been good at generating clutch hits with guys on base. And I do think that's going to result in what should be a lot of wasted opportunities for these teams to potentially generate big innings. So I agree with you. I will lean to the under. I guess I'm going to lean to Detroit. I'm really not interested in betting this game, though, especially with the pitching matchup. So I'm probably going to end up passing, but I would lean to the under and lean to the Tigers if I had to pick a side in a total. Yep. What about you? You have a thoughts on the actual side?
Yeah, not really. I mean, I would lean with Detroit being at home. I think they have the better offense. So if Maeda can just be average, like I said, I think that they'll be able to win a low scoring game. Maybe not as low scoring as it is today, but I can see a 2-1, 3-2 type of game.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a little bit more high scoring than that, but either way, the point is we do both lean to the under. Moving on to the next matchup. You're going to look at a matchup between the Rays and the Brewers. So for this game, you have the Brewers as a slight dog at home. The Rays are currently a -120 favorite with Eflin on the mound, while the Brewers are even money with Rhea on the mound. You're looking at Eflin, who is 1-3 with a 4.08 ERA. You have Rhea, who is 2-0 with a 3.25 ERA, but he was awful last time out. The Yankees kind of shelled him a bit. They did win the game anyway, but he went 6 innings, gave up 5 runs, did walk 3 guys, and he gave up 3 home runs. He's given up 5 home runs in his last 3 starts combined, so there is a bit of an issue when it comes to keeping the ball in the ballpark. The question is, Tampa's not been very good this season based on their own standards. They're 2 games under. Eflin, though, despite the inferior numbers, we would agree is the better starting pitcher between these two starters. Lante, do you think Tampa should be favored in this game?
I do not think Tampa should be favored, especially not on the road. You know, and Eflin did give – I mean, he gave up 4 against the White Sox. I think you mentioned that in his last start. So, like, that's not a ringing endorsement of him being, you know, the same pitcher as he is at home. I do think Milwaukee, they struggled and Reed struggled in his last start, like you mentioned, against the Yankees. But prior to that, 1 earned run or fewer in 3 of his 4 starts. They are hitting almost 270 at home. So I think they can get to Eflin here. The bullpen ERA of Tampa is about 5. They're allowing 6 runs per 9. They're hitting like 240 in their last 10 on almost 9 hits. But they're only averaging 3 runs per 9. So they're getting the hits. They're just not bringing people in. Like I said, I think both of us mentioned them leaving guys stranded like back-to-back games in that White Sox series, which ultimately cost them that game in series. So I like Milwaukee here at home. I think it's a wrong team favorite type of thing. I would lean to the over as well.
I think it's a bit tricky because Milwaukee was a team that I think personally overachieved recently with them being 17-11. And they've lost 3 straight, gave up 15 runs in back-to-back games against the Yankees, and then lost 1-0 in the opener of the series, which is kind of a heartbreaker. But I'm not a big fan of how Milwaukee's been playing recently. Offensively, they haven't exactly been amazing, which makes sense because I think they were overachieving for the first couple of weeks, if not a month or two. But I think for the sake of this matchup, I'm going to lean to Tampa. I don't think it's going to be an easy game by any means, but I do think that Rhea pitches to contact a bit more than I'd like, and the recent home run concerns definitely are a problem in my eyes. So I think if I had to actually pick a side, I'm going to lean to Tampa in this one. Don't really have a strong opinion on it because I think Eflin's been fine for the most part. He just had about two bad outings, and that's kind of ballooned his ERA over four. But he's been fine in most of the starts he's actually had. So I think that reason, I am going to lean to the Rays. Milwaukee, I just think, might be on the verge of a longer losing streak. So I am going to go with the Rays at minus 120. But I will really kind of skip the total. I don't have a strong opinion on that one. Moving on to the next game, you have the Twins taking on the White Sox. You have Ober as the starter here for the Twins, as he currently is 2-1 with a 4.21 ERA. You have Flexen pitching for the White Sox, 1-3, 5.11 ERA. Minnesota around minus 200. The White Sox are plus 170 the other way. And you can find the total set at around 8.5 or 9. So Ober's the better starting pitcher based on numbers. We know the Twins are the better team. They have been on fire recently. The White Sox did sweep over the weekend as they ended up winning all three against Tampa, but they did lose the opener to Minnesota 3-2. Minnesota has won 8 straight. Hottest team in the league. I feel like not enough people are talking about it. True. I like Minnesota on the run line. I just think backing a team that's won 8 straight against Flexen, who is objectively not a good pitcher, I think it's a pretty cheap price. Ober's been fine. I'll lean to the Twins here -1.5.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I also like the Twins team total to go over. They're averaging 5.6 runs in the meetings this year that they faced the White Sox. They've won. To back up our run line, they've won three. They've won three of the five games by 3+ runs. They scored 5+ in 7 of their last 10. Also, a good fade of Flexen, who pitched lights out in his last start. I think he'll come back down to earth. So I like the Twins team total over. Also love them on the run line as well.
Yeah, it's just really tough to fade a team that's won 8 straight against one of the worst teams assembled in the entire league. So I think the run line price is pretty cheap, especially for a road team. You're guaranteed 9 at bats, so I am kind of interested in that option. Give me the Twins minus the 1.5 to extend their winning streak. Moving on to the next game on the slate, you have a matchup between the Royals and the Blue Jays. Should be an interesting pitching matchup because you have Lugo against Bassett, and you're looking at the actual prices, and you could argue that the lines might seem a bit off for this matchup. So to go through the actual lines here, the Blue Jays are around minus 130, and you have the Royals around plus 110. The reason why the lines might seem off is because Bassett's been awful this year, and Lugo's actually been very good. Lugo's 4-1 with a 1.66 ERA, while Bassett is 2-4 with a 5.64 ERA. Toronto has been underwhelming recently. They have been better. They have won the last two games, so props them there. But you're looking at their overall record. They're 15-15. They have lost 5 of their last 7 despite winning the last two games. Kansas City, though, has been one of the pleasant surprises in the AL so far. But with Lugo's numbers and Bassett's numbers, do you think the wrong team's favored?
Yeah, I think it's a tough game. Honestly, I do. I'm probably just going to stay away from the side unless you can convince me otherwise. I'm going to lean to the first 5 and full game under. 8 of the last 10 meetings have went under. It had been 7 straight before Monday's game. And you mentioned Lugo's numbers. I don't have to reiterate those, but the under has hit in his last 3 starts. Kansas City also, their bats kind of struggle on the road. They're just under 225 in their last 10. And Bassett, I mean, I think he's going to bounce back after, you know, giving up 7 to the Dodgers, which, I mean, it's bad, but it is the Dodgers. He didn't get out of the second inning, so I think he's going to bounce back pretty fine against Kansas City. Outside of that, you know, being banged up by the Dodgers, he's been fine. And Toronto, they also haven't been hitting the ball well in their last 10, under 220 in their last 10 as well. So I think we see a pitcher's duel in this game. I like the first 5 under as a stronger play. Don't hate the full game under as well, Scott. I don't know if you can convince me on the side. I'm kind of leaning to Kansas City, but I don't really love it.
Yeah, I feel like you can make an argument this line should be closer to a pick'em. So if you do think it should be minus 110 apiece, then technically you like Kansas City just based on getting plus money on a coin flip. I agree with you about the under, though. I see the total between 8 and 8.5. Yep. I would take the 8.5 now if you can, because it's definitely not going to close at 8.5. But I do like the first five under at probably 4.5 when that gets posted. Yes, just sir. Doing the math in my head. Lugo has been very solid this year. You mentioned Bassett, who's been okay in general. You're not wrong. He was really bad against the Dodgers last start, and they're one of the best offenses in the entire league. The three starts before that, 5 1/3, 2 earned against the Padres, 6 1/3, 1 run against the Yankees, and 6 2/3, 1 run against Seattle. So the one really bad start inflated his entire ERA. So I do think you're looking at a potentially undervalued pitcher here, but I agree with you on the under. I think that both offenses can be good, but they can also leave a lot to be desired. And based on what we've seen for these actual pitchers, I do think you're looking at what should be a pretty, I'd say, high total, and I think you can capitalize on that. So give me the first five under if I had to go with my favorite option for that game. Moving on to the next game on the schedule, you have a matchup between the Pirates and the Athletics, a matchup that only a gambler could be interested in. You have the Pirates as around a -115 favorite, while the Athletics are -105. You have Priester pitching against Stripling. Once again, two pitchers that I might not be the biggest fan of, but you have to pick one of them, I guess. Priester's been okay this season, though. Kind of a surprise. 0-1 with a 3.48 ERA. Stripling 4.98 ERA, and he is 0-5. We know Oakland is one of the biggest surprises in the league because they are 13-17. So this team is objectively not good, but they've been in better form, and they're better than we thought they were going to be because they've won 4 of the last 5, and they did win the series opener against Pittsburgh. I think for this one, I think Priester is better than Stripling, but not by much. But I guess the question is, do I think Pittsburgh should be favored at this point in the season against anybody? My answer is probably no. For the actual total, by the way, you can find 7.5 or 8. I don't mind the over. I know Oakland can't really hit, but the total does feel a bit low. I'll lean to the over in that game. I will lean to Oakland, though. Give me the team that's 1-4 out of 5 getting a decent price.
Yeah, I'm with you. I lean Oakland and over as well. The over's hit in 8 of their last 10 meetings. Both of these pitchers, they have similar profiles. I mean, ERAs of about 3. They're getting little to no run support. Priester on the other side, he's allowed 4 earned in 3 of his last 5. He is giving up the home runs a lot, 7 home runs allowed in his 5 starts. So I think Oakland can kind of take advantage of him. Oakland's bullpen is also better. ERA of 2.63, batting average allowed of 2.12.
Well, that's Pittsburgh, the beauty of Oakland, though, because if they're winning after 8 innings, the game's over.
Yeah,
they
pretty
just have Mason Miller back there, who's just going to be nails. So that helps.
Yeah, and Pittsburgh on the road is averaging 8 hits and 4.3 runs per 9. So they're getting the hits. Their average is just not there. But I think we can see some runs here, especially off both of these pitchers, specifically off Priester, who's giving up the long ball. So I like Oakland, and I like the over as well. Which is good.
Yeah, I just think Pittsburgh should not be favored in basically any games. They're 2 games under right now, but you remember how hot they started? That tells you how bad they've been for the last couple weeks.
Exactly.
I've talked about it before. If your best hitter is arguably O'Neill Cruz, or your most intimidating hitter in the lineup's O'Neill Cruz, you got serious problems.
Or McCutcheon,
yeah. I mean, Reynolds is still there. Sawinski always bats in the low 200s, and he has some home runs, so people are like somewhat scared of him occasionally, but I don't think he's that great. Like, they don't have many guys that I'd say truly scare you in that lineup. Oakland might not either, but at least Oakland can actually hit some home runs, and Pittsburgh has been kind of lacking some power recently. So we agree on that one. Moving on to the next game, you have the Braves taking on the Mariners. For this one, you have Sale pitching against Hancock, and Sale's a decent favorite, about -165. You have the Mariners around +140 in this game. For the over-under, you can find it at 7.5. Some juice to the under, but you can shop around and potentially find a better actual price. But 7.5 is the line market-wide, and Sale has been the better pitcher here. Atlanta's been the better team, but Seattle's been in great form. The opposite of Pittsburgh, they're only 3 games over, but they were so bad to start the year that it kind of masks how good they've been over the last couple weeks. Seattle's won 4 of their last 5. To go back even further, they've been really, really good for the last 2-3 weeks. So the question is, Hancock's been really bad, but Seattle's been very good recently. Do you want to back the hot team to find a way, or is Hancock so bad you just want to lean to Atlanta?
I'm going to stay away from the side. I'm going to play the under. Eight of the last 10 have went under for Atlanta. They've played three straight home series, so they're back on the road. I like Sale against Seattle's offense. They struggle against lefties. Let me see. What are they against lefties? Give me 1 second. I got to scroll down. 201. They're hitting 201 against lefties. They're hitting 220 in their last 10. So offensively, I guess I am kind of talking myself into Atlanta. But I think Atlanta can. I think Atlanta can get here. But I think we'll see a low scoring game. I mean, three of five sales starts have went under. He's had two earned runs or less in three of those five starts. So I think if he has a solid K prop, he's had 7+ in three of his five. And with the struggles of Seattle to hit lefties, I think they'll be swinging a lot, and they have a high strikeout rate as well. Just as overall as a team. So man, I'll take Atlanta, but I like the under a whole lot more.
Yeah, so you alluded to my actual favorite play in this game, which is a player prop. Give me Sale strikeouts in this game. You mentioned Seattle can hit lefties. Sale has always been a strikeout pitcher. His stuff might not be as good as it used to be, but he's still a very solid strikeout pitcher. Seattle is the only team in the entire league averaging more than 10 strikeouts per game. They're averaging 10.34 strikeouts per game. And in fact, they're striking out even more at home. They're striking out 10.47 times per home game. They swing at everything. They're bad against lefties. So I like Sale strikeouts as my main play in this game. You might end up finding him maybe getting to 9 or 10 even if he can get to 6 innings of work. So that might be an option. But Sale strikeouts is my main option. Atlanta's not been a great hitting team recently. Neither is Seattle. So I would lean to the under. It's going to be ugly, though, with Hancock because I'm not sure how he's going to find a way. But I do think Sale strikeouts is the main play for me in this matchup. Maybe if you want to go for Seattle first five team total under, you just think they get off to a slow start, maybe Sale pitch as well. The problem is with them being plus 140, you're probably at 1.5. And that number is very low for a first five team total because Sale has to pitch very, very well.
Yeah,
I'd rather take the strikeouts if I had to pick my main option in this matchup. Anything else you want to add for this game?
No, that's it. Completely agree with you.
All right, so before we get into the next game on the slate, I do want to remind everybody once again that we are in the middle of the playoffs in both hockey and basketball. And as a result, we do have a lot of great content on the NBA Gambling Podcast and the NHL, or the Hockey Gambling Podcast, for episodes to get you locked in for exciting playoff action. Plus, it is Derby Week. I'm not really the biggest horse guy. I used to go to the Belmont every year, but now they're doing renovations, so I cannot go this year. Lante, you a big horse guy?
No, but I used to go with my grandfather all the time, which is probably my first taste of gambling. I'm not really big into it though.
Yeah, I still remember the first time I went. I hit a 15-1 shot the race after the Belmont, so that was my favorite moment of that time. But either way, it is Belmont Week, and the Sports Gam Podcast will get you ready for the most exciting 2 minutes in sports. So check out the Mothership Show on the network, and they are going to bring on a couple of horse racing experts. We also have our own horse racing podcast, so check that out as well. But the point is, we do have a lot of potential angles to find for horse racing, and it is going to be Kentucky Derby Week. Besides that, though, do want to remind everybody once again, we're brought to you by Underdog Fantasy, and the NBA playoffs are here. Our sponsor, Underdog Fantasy, wants to make it a lot more interesting. Underdog is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. You can play their fantasy pick'em game by selecting higher or lower on player stats like points, rebounds, assists, and so much more. Don't worry, though. They also have baseball. They have hits. They have strikeouts. They have everything you could possibly want. I believe they even have first inning, higher or lower half a run. They really have every prop you could think of and every overall market that you could think of on Underdog Fantasy. So make entries of all basketball or mix and match across your favorite sports, and you can win 200 times your money, and it's a ton of fun. Underdog is available in 30-plus states, including California, Texas, and even Canada. And they also have a couple of great options for new customers. New customers get a pick'em special in the lobby when they sign up. So check the calendar for the actual special. They should be able to give you a lot of extra interesting options to maybe help you build your overall bankroll on the platform. Underdog, though, is also running a ton of fun promos. They have bonus cash airdrops, specials, giveaways, and more throughout the NBA playoffs. So make sure to follow Underdog Picks on Twitter. So at Underdog Picks on Twitter to keep an eye out. Underdog is available in 30 plus states, including California, Texas, and Canada. They just launched Champions, their player versus player format in Florida. So make sure you sign up with the code MLBSGPN and Underdog will double your first deposit of $100. So Underdog Fantasy, promo code MLBSGPN. Welcome back, everyone, to the MLB Gambling Podcast. Just finished previewing a couple of the games for the Wednesday slate. Now it's time to move on to the next game on the actual schedule. We're still in the afternoon day, or the afternoon's part of the day, as we're looking at the 4 o'clock games now. You have a matchup between the Phillies and the Angels. The Phillies have Wheeler on the mound, while the Angels have Sandoval on the mound. The Phillies are minus 165. The Angels are plus 140. Lante, why is this line not 200? And why should I not take the Phillies -1.5?
Yeah, I can answer that. I really can't, because I thought the same thing. I mean, Wheeler's threw 13 and two-thirds scoreless, 2 hits allowed in that span. So I'm kind of conflicted. Like, I want to take the over, but I mean, I don't know if Wheeler's going to get, you know, going to be able to give up any run. I don't think the Angels will be able to hit him, but I think the over has some value. I mean, they played 7 straight overs versus the Angels. If they can just get, like, maybe Wheeler kind of like has a mediocre day where he allows like a run or two, and then they can get to the bullpen and the Angels can kind of get some runs off, because I mean, the bullpen ERA is like 5.5 for Phillies. They're allowing 5.75 runs per 9. So, yeah, I can kind of see that. I mean, and the Philly, maybe I should just take the Philly team total over. They're hitting 270 versus lefties, 4.8.
I think I don't want to take the team total, though, because I just want Wheeler. Like, why would I purposefully avoid using Wheeler to my advantage if I take the team total instead?
Yeah, and then, I mean, the Angels have scored 5+ in 3 straight. I'm gonna go with the Phillies on the run line, and I'm also gonna take some Wheeler props as well. I'll just stay away from the team total, although I think that they can get to Sandoval. Sandoval is still going, right?
Yeah, Sandoval, yes. I see, is the starting pitcher, who I am not a fan of at all. So yeah, me either. I want to give him a shout out, though. He was the starter for the longest losing streak game for Miami. So shout out to Sandoval for being decent one time. But yeah, I think he sucks. And I think Wheeler is a phenomenal pitcher. So I like Phillies run line. I know they ended up losing the opener. Props to the Angels for actually winning
it,
the game.
Though. Yeah, they blew it, though. Phillies blew it.
Yeah, that is true. But still, a win's a win. We'll see what happens tonight when Turnbull pitches against Anderson. But props to the Angels for winning a game, which I'm hoping is a nice wake-up call for the Phillies, because they had the most successful April in franchise history. I think they won 19 games in April, which is a franchise record. So maybe they'll get back on track by once again getting Wheeler on the mound and Turnbull on Monday, and maybe on Tuesday, I mean, and maybe that carries over for the rest of the series. Moving on, though, to the next game on the slate, you're looking at a matchup between the just pulling it up right now. You have a matchup between the Reds and the Padres. You have the Padres around minus 140. You have the Reds at plus 120. Ashcraft's pitching for the Reds, 3-1, 4.4 ERA. Musgrove's pitching for the Padres, 3-3 with a 6.94 ERA. Lante, I've been fading Musgrove all year, and it's worked out pretty well because he's favored in basically every game. And his ERA still sucks, 6.94 ERA. He has been better in 2 of the last 3 starts, but he got shelled at home against the Phillies his last time out. The point is, why are the Padres favored, and why should I not take the Reds? The Reds, even if you do think Musgrove is the better pitcher despite the underwhelming numbers this season, the Reds are definitely the better offense and they have the better record. Why would I want to take the Padres at minus 140 if I don't have to?
Yeah, I wouldn't either. San Diego is one of those teams I can't get right. So I'll lean to Cincinnati.
I quit their games last year, so I haven't even tried to get them right.
Yeah, so I'll take the over, man. I think Musgrove, like you mentioned, Musgrove has been seven earned runs to Philly. The last 3 starts have went over. San Diego, while their offense is kind of up and down, just kind of like their team, they are hitting 270 at home, scoring 5.1 runs per 9. Ashcraft's allowed a home run in 4 of his 5 starts. So if the San Diego offense can get going a little bit, I think they can get over this number. Four of his 5 starts have went over as well. I think we can see some runs here, man. So I'm thinking we get a high scoring game. Maybe Reds win 6-5 or 7-4 or something like that.
Yeah, I do want to point out, though, that Ashcraft has randomly been very good on the road of the season. He's had 16 innings. He's had 18 innings pitched on the road in 3 starts. 4 earned runs, so he has a 2 ERA on the road. So I do like that, especially when you're getting plus 120, fading Musgrove. So I will go with the Reds here. I think plus 120 is off. For the total, I forgot to mention, the total in this game is currently being set at around 8. I think it'll lean over as well, but I'd rather take Cincinnati. I just think plus 120 feels like a very off line to me. So I'd rather just take the value with the side. Anything else you want to add, or should we move on?
No, that's it. I like that over as well.
All right. Moving on, you have the Yankees taking on the Orioles after the Yankees no-showed the entire game offensively. I believe they lost 2-0 in the opener on Monday. You have Heel pitching against Burns. The Orioles are minus 155. Yankees are plus 135. For the total in this game, you have the total set at 8.5. I think the Orioles should be favored. The question is, do you want to take him at 155? Because 155, 160 is kind of in that no man's land where you could argue you can still take the money line, but maybe you want the run line for a very nice plus price. I am not a Heel guy at all. I know his stuff's good. He strikes out a lot of guys. He walked so many damn batters that it's really frustrating to actually watch him pitch. And Baltimore can make it, can punish you if you are, I'd say, careless with your overall pitch location. Heels commands all over the place. That's really the main problem I have. Burns, I think, has been good this season. He can get roughed up occasionally, but I'm going to go with Baltimore. I just think Heels going to give up too many base runners, and I think the Baltimore is going to be able to capitalize on the guys on base. I like Baltimore. Maybe the first five-run line, just back Burns, ignore the bullpens, just give me the minus half a run in the first five. But Heel was really bad against Milwaukee, let a lot of guys get on base, and that scares me against a very good offense. So I'll go with Baltimore first five minus a half.
Yeah, I love Baltimore in this spot. Burns threw 8 scoreless in his last start. I think that's his only start against the Yankees. He threw 8 scoreless. He's been phenomenal so far this year. 2 earned runs or less in 4 of his 5 starts. He has allowed a home run in his last 4 starts, so that's something to monitor. Maybe Soto, Judge, maybe can get one off on him. That does kind of scare me. But he's not allowing a lot of hits at all. I think Burns is locked in. I think we see a low-scoring game. You mentioned, Gil, he's been fine. I think he's been good, but he did, like, those walk issues does.
His stuff is good, but the problem is his pitches are so, I'd say, unpredictable. And that's why he strikes out so many guys. But if your strikeout to walk rate is just not good, I'm not going to trust you against good offenses.
Yeah. And that's true. And he's not allowed more than 3. He's only allowed more than 3 hits once in all of his starts. So I like the under. I think the under is a strong play. I don't trust the Yankees offense, especially not against Burns, who is in good form right now. I like Baltimore. I love the under, though.
Yeah, I think I prefer Yankees team total under. Just give me Burns to pitch well. I'm not really going to overthink it. The Yankees offense exploded for 2 games against Milwaukee, scoring 15 runs in back-to-back games. You take those 2 games out, they've been terrible offensively for the last, 2 weeks. So I think that they're going to revert back, and they did in the opener. A lot of bad at-bats, a lot of just abysmal swings, and that's been an issue for the Yankees for the last couple weeks. So I think that continues. Yankees team total under is my main lean for a total, but I will go with the Orioles first 5 minus a half in that one. Moving on to the next game, you have a game that only a gambler could love, a massive test to see how big of a degen you actually are. You have the Rockies taking on the Marlins. We have no pitchers, we have no lines. So, Lante, we've seen the Marlins be favored, and they're 0-10 as a favorite this season. Yeah, I'm assuming Miami's going to be favored again, and we actually are not allowed to take them as a favorite. Friends don't let friends bet Miami money line when they're 0-10 straight up as a favorite this season. Give me the Rockies with no listed pitcher. How am I supposed to take Miami? You know they're going to be favored. It's a toilet bowl matchup. Actually, you know what? I think we have the sound drop for that, do we? I don't remember if that overlaps with the sound drops.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I don't think we have it. That's unfortunate, but you can play the toilet sound effect from the NBA show. These teams are terrible. The main rule that Terrell has for toilet bowl matchups, you never lay points and you never basically lay juice with the money line. Give me whoever's the dog in this game.
I couldn't have said it better myself. Let's not even waste any more time and move on.
Cool. Moving on to the next game, you have a matchup between where do I want to go next? Matchup between the Cubs and the Mets. The Cubs are minus 120. Mets are even money. You have the Cubs at a pretty good spot for them because they have Imanaga on the mound, and he's been insane. Easily the favorite to win the National League Rookie of the Year, as far as I'm concerned. 4-0 with a .98 ERA. Absolutely wild. And Buto has been good this season, 2.86 ERA, but he somehow has no wins, and he struggled last time out because St. Louis kind of got to him. 5 2/3, 4 earned runs, 3 walks allowed, and 2 home runs allowed. Give me the Cubs in this one. Imanaga's been so good. The Mets wasted a phenomenal start by Severino, who went 8 innings, and they lost the game anyway. Classic Mets loss that you would see for years at this point. Give me the Cubs, though. First place, they're been picked to win the division. I like the offense. Council's done a good job with the bullpen so far. Imanaga, though, is sick. Give me the Cubs on the money line at minus 120.
Yeah, I lean that way as well.
I like the under, too.
Yeah, I love the under. That's what I was just about to say. I love the under. The under's hitting 7 out of the last 10 for Chicago. The Mets are just typical Mets, but they do hit lefties well, though. 256 and 4.7 runs per 9. The bullpen's been elite. I mean, despite what happened last night, 2.87 ERA, under 200 batting average allowed. Jose, 2 earned runs of less than 4 or 5. 3 of his 4 starts have went under, so that bodes well. I think we see a low scoring game, man. I think we might see 2-1. Something like we saw last night. Maybe not, the no hit part, but I mean, with Imanaga on the mound, I mean, I wouldn't doubt it, but I'm going to lean to Chicago. Love the under, though. Love the under.
Yeah, the under is at 7.5. So I can't really be too mad about it. Either way, though, give me the Cubs. I just think that this line should be a bit higher. Moving on to the next game, you have a matchup between the Giants and the Red Sox. To be honest, not going to spend much time on it because we have no lines. The Giants, I don't believe, have a listed pitcher, while Crawford is pitching for the Red Sox. Yeah, that's all I need to hear. Crawford's been that good this season. 1-1 with a 1.35 ERA. Giants have not announced a pitcher. Any chance you fade Crawford at home? The Red Sox have not been great at Fenway this season. They are only 5-8, but the Giants are also 5-8 on the road. So, yeah, I'm going to go with the Red Sox with no listed pitcher for the Giants. You?
Yeah, I can't figure out the Giants either. They're another one of those teams, but I do like the pitching. Depending on who they throw, I mean, they're going to throw anybody that's going to make a difference, to be honest. I would lean to Boston, but like I said, I can't figure out the Giants for whatever reason. That whole division outside of the Dodgers maybe just like giving me real trouble. I'll lean to Boston. I mean, just off the pitching alone.
Well, the problem you're into for the Giants is A, they can't hit, and B, besides Webb, do you like anybody in their rotation?
Yeah, no, I don't.
So that's a problem. That's why in a division with the Dodgers, I know that the Diamondbacks have taken a step back and the Padres aren't as good, but still, it's filled with a bunch of teams with more talent than what they have, which is why the Giants are kind of stuck in purgatory.
Yeah, I feel like they win the games that they're not supposed to win, and then they lose the games they're not supposed to lose. That's just how I bet them. And then they just
You know what would have really helped this team out?
Who's that? Snail?
Arson Judge.
Oh.
Uh-huh. Would have really helped this team out. Maybe Correa, yeah. Who they didn't get either.
I forgot about that whole deal. Yeah.
Yeah. Arson Judge might have helped out the actual team. He might be better than Aaron Judge. Keep an eye out for Arson Judge. Maybe he shows up for the Yankees in the next couple of weeks. Moving on to the next game on the slate, though, you have a match between the Nationals and the Rangers. You have Heaney pitching against Williams, and the Rangers are laying 165. The Nationals are plus 140. The disrespect is real. Williams 2-0, 2.7 ERA. Heaney is 0-3 with a 6.26 ERA. The Nationals are 14-14. They did it. They are at 500. You are so close to getting above 500. You are right there. My question for you is, why would anybody take Heaney at minus 165 against one of the hottest teams in the league?
No shot, man. No shot.
I don't know why anybody would do that.
Yeah, 4 home runs allowed in his last 2 combined. He's only averaging 4 innings pitched per game. I don't trust the bullpen. You're giving up like almost 4.5 runs per 9. They're hitting 228 in their last 10. Offense has been off a cliff. 6 of the last 10 have went under. But I'll give you this, Scott. Look, Washington's good. They have been good. They're really good on the road. 10-6 on the road. They've won 6 of 10, swept the Marlins, which is fine. You're supposed to do that. But a plus 17 margin is that's showing some real.
They killed that too.
Yeah, that's showing some real separation. Rodgers also has been really good. One earned run in each of his last two starts. Two or less in 3 of 5 and 4 of 5. Hasn't allowed a home run. The only thing that's giving me pause here is they struggle against lefties. They're hitting 217 versus lefties. That's the only thing that's keeping me off of making this a bigger play than what it is. But I do think Washington can win this game if they can just get some. If they can get the bat on the ball, they just don't hit lefties that well. Abrams been a monster this year, but again, it's a lefty. It's, you're going lefty on lefty. Although Haney's not good, I'm not sure how big of a bet I can make on Washington being that bad against lefties. But I'll still like Washington, just, you know, for a smaller play, maybe like a quarter of a unit play.
Yeah, the point is, I still think no matter what the size of the bet is, I still have to bet Washington in some capacity. Because plus 140 is an insane line. It's not even like Texas have been good this year. If Texas has been like the Guardians, like they just had a bunch of wins, the record's insane. Okay, I get it. The Rangers are around 500. These teams record-wise are almost the exact same. And the Nationals have been in great form, and they're getting plus 140 with the better pitcher on the mound. Williams has been very good. And the one area I got to give him a shout-out for, which I do every time he starts, is the home runs allowed. Williams has allowed 0 home runs this season in 5 starts. Do you want to guess how many home runs Williams allowed last year in 30 starts?
17.
34.
Jesus Christ.
He gave up 34 home runs last year, and he's allowed 0 in 5 starts. Phenomenal job by him. Shout out to him. Shout out to the Nationals pitching staff or the actual pitching coaches. Great job working with Williams, but he's keeping the ball in the ballpark, and that was a serious issue last year. So I like Williams here. I think he's the better pitcher. I think that the Nationals have been in better form. Plus 140 looks like a bargain. Give me the Nationals. I'm not saying it's like what Mal says, when you find money in the street. That was against the Marlins over the weekend. But I do think this line's very off. So give me the Nationals in that one to get it done. Moving on to the next game, you have the Guardians taking on the Astros. And you have McKenzie taking on Verlander. Verlander has not pitched much this season, but he still has good numbers. 1-0 with a 1.74 ERA. McKenzie's been underwhelming, though, as he's 2-2 with a 4.91 ERA. Guardians are 19-9, which is still crazy to look at. 11-5 on the road. The Astros are 9-19. They are 4-9 at home. By the way, I forgot to mention for the Rangers game, I'm going to link to the over in that one. Total's at 9, but I like the offense for the Nationals, and I think that Williams can maybe struggle against Texas. Do you have any thoughts on that total? Forgot to ask you before.
Yeah, no, I just lean over. I just more so like Washington more than the total. I know I've been betting. Yeah. I think I've gave out more totals than I ever have today.
Yeah, I like the total. I should say that I like the side more than total, which is why I kind of focused on it. But if I had to lean one way, I'm not taking an under with Heaney. So for this game, I already mentioned that Houston's a pretty big favorite. The over-under set at 8.5. McKenzie's not been good, but neither have the Astros. Do you want to get plus 145 with arguably the best record in the league? Or do you think it's warranted because McKenzie's been that bad?
Yeah, a little bit of both, I think. He's only pitched against one really good team, which was the Yankees, and he got shelled. He allowed 5. The Cleveland's actually been one of the more impressive teams to me. I think probably the most impressive team. And they lost Bieber early, still kind of staying afloat. They're 11-5 on the road. But, I mean, and it's not this is a tough game for me because Houston's coming back from Mexico. They played 3 straight road series. Ending that in Mexico, they only like 2 earned runs in 10 2/3 for is Verlander going right?
Yes, Verlander.
Yeah, so he's been fine and 10 2/3, only 2 earned runs allowed, both on the road. So this is his first home start, which is kind of weird. But Houston, 10 straight unders. I'm gonna go with the under here. We know Cleveland's offense has been, you know, hit or miss at times. I think Verlander can shut him down. I don't trust Houston laying that big of a number. I would lean to Cleveland, man, even with Verlander on the mound. If we can get like a low scoring game and they can get to that bullpen, they can get to Houston's bullpen, I think they got a shot to pull it off. So I'll lean Cleveland. Love the under in this matchup.
Yeah, I think I'm going to lean to the Guardians first 5 team total under. I know it's going to be 1.5 because they're massive dogs here, but To be honest, I want nothing to do with Houston because they're really bad at home. They beat the Rockies twice in Mexico. Congratulations. The Rockies are a terrible baseball team. I just want to back Verlander. The bullpen sucks. The team's been underwhelming. Toss them all out. Just give me Verlander to pitch well. Yep. I feel like that's how I'm going to go about it. So give me Verlander to pitch a gem in the first five. Give me the Guardians' first five team total under probably 1.5, which means I'll lead to the under in the game as well. Moving on to the last game on the schedule, we have a game with no lines. We have the Dodgers taking on the Diamondbacks. And for this matchup, you have Yamamoto pitching against undecided, which is why we have no pitcher, which is why we have no lines right now for this matchup. Yamamoto's been okay. I think we all thought he'd be better, but he did get shelled in his first outing in it was in Korea, right, against San Diego. It was awful. Yep. So his numbers, even though 3.54 ERA is actually not that bad based on how bad he was in that first start, but he's 2-1 with a 3.54 ERA. Arizona has not been good. The Dodgers have been good. They're 19-12. They've kind of caught fire over the last week or two. Dodgers run line without knowing the prices, I think Yamamoto is definitely good enough to back.
Yep, absolutely. I agree. He's coming off 8 scoreless innings. The Dodgers offense obviously has been better on the road than at home. They're 10-4 on the road. They're hitting almost .280 on the road, 10.3 hits and 5 runs per 9. So give me anything Dodgers related, take the team total over. I also will lay the run and a half. I might even lay 2 runs, to be honest with you. Getting all 9 at bats. I think the Dodgers will roll here. They haven't had Arizona hasn't had much success against the Dodgers anyway.
Yeah, definitely true. But I don't think I really don't think Arizona's that good. Just watching them play, I just don't think they're that good of a baseball team. Maybe they can figure it out again. It's a long season. We know Arizona went on a run at the end of the year to make the playoffs, and then they ended up making the World Series. But I don't sense the aura. I just don't feel it. Maybe once again, it's early in the season, they'll figure it out. But am I missing something? Doesn't it feel like something from this Arizona team is just missing? There's just not a certain energy that needs to be there.
Yeah, no, I agree. I couldn't agree more. I said that in the previous when we were previewing the division, I thought it would be a hangover for them. You know, a lot of their younger guys are not playing well. I mean, the only arm they really have to rely on is, you know, is Gallen, and even he's been human. The past
Montgomery's been okay.
Yeah, Montgomery's
showed
been fine.
Up late,
yeah.
But he's been okay.
Yeah, he's been fine. I think he's, you know, getting into – this is basically his spring training as far as he starts. So, yeah. But outside of that –
I'm thinking of the other pitchers, though. Fodd's been bad. Yep. Henry's been bad. Nelson's been bad. Like, yeah, they really don't have many – they don't have great depth in that rotation.
Yep.
But anything else you want to add, or should we move on?
Nah, that's good. We can get to the lock and dog.
Cool. All right. So, lock and dog time. Long time, I'm going to let you go first. What is your lock for the show?
Yeah, so for the lock, man, I'm going with the Atlanta-Seattle game under. I think Chris Sale will be able to shut down that Seattle offense. And while Atlanta's offense is, you know, prone to go for, you know, 5 or 6 runs at a time, I think they kind of get – I think they can get like 3 or 4 and be fine with that. So I'm going with the under – is it 7.5, 8?
The under in that game is currently at, I think it's at 8. Let me just check. Yeah, no, it's 7.5. Yeah, I see 7.5 at minus -104 on the under.
Yeah, that's perfect. I'll take it. So I'll take a 4-1 at Atlanta win. Seattle doesn't hit lefties well. We mentioned the strikeout rate at home. Well, you mentioned the strikeout rate at home. I love the under 7.5 in this game. For the dog, I wanted to go Washington, man, to be honest with you, but I'm gonna go with Minnesota on the run line. I'm minus the 1.5, getting all 9 at bats. They're averaging like 6 runs in these meetings this year against the White Sox. The White Sox are pitiful. I don't have to go into why. Flexen's coming off a really good game. I think he comes back down to earth here. They've won by multiple runs multiple times, so I like the familiarity with them. Give me Minnesota on the run line, minus 1.5.
All right. So for my actual, by the way, worth mentioning, I thought about Baltimore first five as my lock.
Yeah.
I said that Heel walks a lot of guys. Baltimore does average the 3rd fewest walks per game. So keep an eye out for that. Should be an interesting matchup. For the lock on the show, what do I want to go with? I know what my dog's going to be. I gave out the Phillies run line for the Tuesday card. Do I want to just double it and just go with The Phillies again on the run line.
Yeah, I wanted to do that as well, and I was going to take the full game under for Yankees O's, but I didn't.
Yeah, I thought about taking either the Phillies run line, thought about maybe the first five under in that Royals and Blue Jays game. That one I thought was interesting. Cubs money line with Imanaga is interesting. Yeah, I think I'm just going to go back to what do I want to go with here? Yeah, you know what? I think I'm going to go with the it's really a tough call here. You know what? Yeah, I'm just going to do it. No, I'm just going to go with the Phillies run line in this one against the Angels again. The Angels won the series opener. The offense has been okay. Wheeler, though, has been so good just based on his ERA. His numbers are great. The Angels are a great offense. They've been better recently. But I can get even money on the Phillies minus 1.5. I think that's a great deal. That's kind of what caused me as a tiebreaker to choose it as my lock. The even money is just too appealing for an actual price. So for the second straight day, give me the Phillies minus 1.5 against the Angels as my lock. For my dog in this one, I am going to go with the Reds. I'm going to go with Ashcraft against the Padres at around plus 120. Just want to shop around quickly to see what the best price I can find is. I see plus 120. So Musgrove I've faded. I've done very well. I believe I'm 2-0 fading Musgrove this season. Ashcraft, though, good on the road. 2 ERA flat. He's been solid in general. The Reds are a better team based on record, based on consistency. The Padres are objectively not a good baseball team. They're average with, I'd say, pretty good players, but as a whole, yeah. I'll put it this way. The individual players are better than the sum of the parts. I'll put it that way. And Tatis is fine. Machado, we know, is good, but yeah, you just keep looking at the guys and the record's not good. And it's the same story every year. So give me the Reds money line at plus 120 as my dog. So that's going to wrap it up for this episode. Alante, anything you want to add before you officially leave?
Nah, man. Best of luck to everybody. Make sure you shop around, get the best number. Hit like, subscribe on the way out. That's it, man. Okay. Good luck to everybody.
Okay, so just a reminder, your lock was the under 7.5 in the Braves game at minus 104.
Sir. Yep.
Your dog was on, what was your dog on again?
Minnesota run line.
Okay, so your dog was on Minnesota run line. Did you have a price on that, or do you want me to pull it up?
Let me see. I made these notes earlier.
That's not a dog, by the way. Minnesota run one is minus 126.
Okay. When I did it, it was like plus 105. I mean, I can pivot and go. We'll go with Washington. With Texas, I'll go there. Washington, Texas.
Okay. So that you gave out a bonus lock, and now you have a dog.
Yeah. So that'll be plus. Okay. I think they're plus 140, right? Washington.
Nationals money line, I believe, is plus 140, but I'll shop around to see if there's a better price.
Yeah.
I see 142.
Yeah, that's fine. I'll take the extra 2 cents.
Okay. And for my picks, give me the Phillies minus 1.5 as my lock at even money. And for my dog, I am going to go with the Reds money line at plus 120. Either way, though, I will not be back next episode. I think Lante might be. I'm not actually sure what the schedule is.
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
It's written down somewhere. Let me quickly pull that up. I don't know if it really matters. The point is the show will be back again tomorrow at around 5. But let me just quickly see if I have the schedule in front of me to tell you exactly who's going to be on the show. So for tomorrow, it's going to be Mal and Dylan, actually. So we're both off. So keep an eye out for Mal and Dylan tomorrow afternoon. But until next time, good luck to all of you and all of your bets. Bye, everyone.